Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Transportation Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, February 27, 2024. We are in room 124 of the Barnes Committee Room, Alaska State Capitol. Let the record reflect that the time is 1:36 p.m. Today we have present Representative Craig Johnson, Representative McKay, Representative Vance, Representative Stutes, Representative Mina, and myself, Chair McCabe. Staff assisting us today are Linda Jepson with House Records, Susan Quigley with the LIO, and Angela Steffel, my committee aide. Thank you for your service today. If everyone could please silence their cell phones, and I will remind everybody only legislative staff and legislators are allowed past the testifiers table. If you need to get a note to one of us, my committee aide will assist you. And if by some slim chance you want to take pictures, I kindly ask that you don't go past the table. Today we have two items on the agenda, House Transportation Committee HDR 19, a resolution supporting the completion of the Port McKenzie Rail Extension and the Northern Rail Extension and supporting an increase in defensive capabilities at Fort Greely, Alaska, encouraging a renewed commitment by the Alaska Railroad to a community-minded approach to future rail expansion and encouraging the development of critical Arctic infrastructure. And we also have HB 122, an act authorizing the Alaska Railroad Corporation to issue revenue bonds to finance the replacement of the Alaska Railroad Corporation's passenger dock and related terminal facility in Seward, Alaska, and providing for an effective date. I'd like to recognize that Representative Sumner has joined us. So I think on basis, the order was flipped. So today we're going to flip the order and hear HDR 19 first. We'll have an introduction of the resolution by my staff, take invited testimony, and look to the will of the committee on setting an amendment deadline or moving it out of committee. So let's begin. If my staff, Julie Morris, could come to the table and introduce the committee resolution, I would appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Chair McCabe, committee members. My name is Julie Morris, staff to Chair McCabe. Thank you for hearing HJR 19. HJR 19 advocates for completing two vital rail extensions in Alaska, the Port McKenzie Rail Extension and the Northern Rail Extension, to bolster infrastructure and defense capabilities. Alaska's strategic Arctic position, coupled with recent defense expansions at Fort Greely, emphasizes the importance of these projects. Completion of Phase 1 of the Northern Rail Extension and the progress on the Port McKenzie Rail Extension signifies strides towards enhancing transportation and connectivity. The progress on Port McKenzie Rail Extension is commendable. The extension will substantially reduce energy and transportation costs, improve air quality, and facilitate efficient movement of goods from Tidewater to and across interior Alaska. Extending the Alaska Railroad to Houston, Delta Junction, and Fort Greely enhances economic integration, transportation networks, benefiting mines and agriculture. This resolution underscores our commitment to Alaska's economic development, defense readiness, and community engagement through vital infrastructure projects. These extensions offer economic benefits, including reduced costs, improved resource movement. It will get our stranded resources to market. Overall, the resolution aims to promote economic development and ensure long-term prosperity and security for Alaska. That is the introduction, and I hand it back to Chair McCabe.
Thank you, Ms. Morris. So, for those of you that don't remember, this resolution in pretty much virtually the same as the one that was passed last year, the year before. And resolutions are only good for a year. I'm hopeful to take this with me. There is a DOD dignitary coming a week from or next Monday for a tour of the port and the rail extension. At least the Port McKenzie Rail Extension, and I'm hoping to bring this resolution with him. That's why I'm being a little bit pushy with maybe trying to get it out today, unless somebody has amendments. So we have some invited testimony. If if the committee will indulge me, unless there's any questions. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Chair McCabe. I just have one question. And I believe I know the answer, but I just want to confirm it. This is strictly for this rail extension and not the port?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. So I think the railroad is going to be here at some point shortly. But I think what we'll do is begin with our online. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the chair, just one question on the resolution. What's the projected cost to complete the remaining 70 miles?
It's the remaining 70 miles.
For the Northern Rail Extension.
For the Northern Rail Extension?
Yeah.
Oh, it's north of $1.2 billion. It's significant. I think that was last year's cost, actually.
Okay.
Port McKenzie itself will be about 200 and close to 250 million.
Yeah.
Over in the plan is kind of to do it over 3 years. That's the tentative plan to space out the funding phase by phase. So, and I think Mr. O'Leary probably be able to speak to that whenever he comes here. So,
okay.
Is in advance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question on the fuller intent of this resolution and not wanting to rock the boat. I know we've done previous ones, but in talking about the need for the rail extension, we've mentioned more than just defense capabilities. We've talked about economic stability and energy security. And on the last page of this resolution, on line 19, I'm wondering if it would help the cause by including the words to say necessary to improve economic stability, energy security, and defense capabilities in the state. If you feel that the resolution stands firm on its own, but I just want to make sure that our intent is much broader than just defense. I mean, we've been talking about all of the other reasons that the rail is important and don't want that to be missed.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, after we've finished our presentations, we can discuss if you want to hold it for amendments for that or if we want to push it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do a conceptual. I'm happy with that as well.
I have no desire to slow this down, Mr. Chairman.
No worries.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Who is the dignitary that's coming? You don't know.
I don't have a name yet. So it's part of the Northern Edge exercise, and it's an undersecretary of defense that will be visiting along with 28-ish folks that are been invited to give a presentation sort of like this.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason for the question is, would not behoove us, since we're going to be presenting it to someone personally, that they not be in the people copied to at a little... Just a little oomph.
So I don't disagree with that. This resolution was not really designed to do what I'm doing with it.
Gotcha.
I'm just going to hand it to him and say, this is what the legislature is thinking. We passed this resolution this year and last year and the year before, and we'd like it to go forward, and we're kind of behind this. So,
if I might, and it is like everybody likes to see their name in lights.
Sure.
And it'd be an easy conceptual amendment if we knew who.
Yeah.
So, but if we don't, that's not an issue.
if I knew who.
If you knew who.
At this point, thanks. I'm probably pretty low level on their on their ladder for invitees. So
makes it all the more important to shine a light on it.
Thanks.
I have one more question, Kevin.
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the chair, I know that you asked this question about Northern Rail and Port McKenzie to Senator Sullivan. Has there been any other follow-up conversations with any members of our congressional delegation about this resolution and federal funding opportunities?
So the answer to that is yes. Mm-hmm. We are in a continual conversation with both Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan and his staff in trying to find a path forward, as well as the Federal Railroad Administration and and now the Department of Defense. So we're looking for any way to find funding, matching funding, interested parties, key anchor tenants for Port McKenzie, which will help to get financing and complete the rail spur. So, as well as PENWAR, Regional Infrastructure Accelerator Loan Program, a number of those kinds of things. So this will help when I send that to them. So
thank you.
Any other questions? All right. I think what we'll do is go to retired Lieutenant General David Crum online first, if you don't mind. General Crum, Representative McCabe, the House Transportation Committee, can you hear me?
I can, Representative McCabe. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Let me introduce you, General. Let's see where that is. Oh, yeah. So General Crum served as the commander of the Alaska Command and the 11th Air Force. Lieutenant General David A. Crum was the commander of the Alaska Command, United States Northern Command, commander of the 11th Air Force, Pacific Air Forces, and commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command Region and North American Aerospace Defense Command at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. He served as a senior military officer in Alaska, overseeing the integration of all military activities in the Alaska Joint Operations Area, coordinating the efforts of over 21,000 active duty and reserve forces from all branches of the military. As the commander of the Alaska region and the North American Aerospace Defense Command, Lieutenant General Crum directed operations to ensure effective surveillance, monitoring, and defense of the region's airspace. And most additionally important, General Crum is my constituent, lives in Big Lake. So with that, General Crum, feel free to put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman McKay, for that introduction. You forgot to say proud member of Big Lake as we go forward. Good afternoon, members of the Alaska House Transportation Committee. I'm very honored to be able to speak with you today on House Joint Resolution 19, which, as you know, would complete the sections known as the Port McKenzie Rail Extension and the Northern Rail Extension. I don't want to make sure that it's expressed that these views I have today are my own. They don't necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Defense, but they are informed by my time as commander up here in those positions that Chairman Kay described, and as a permanent Alaska resident in the Big Lake area. You know, I really think that timing couldn't be better to discuss this extension. Since as you gather to discuss the benefits and costs of this project, I think there's really a new understanding that we as a nation and as a state, we have to put in place the infrastructure needed, not only to continue to expand our economy, but also to better our capabilities for any crisis. You know, the dark shadow of war by Russia against Ukraine is sobering. You know, that Alaska's second closest neighbor is willing to violate international laws, norms, and destroy the rules-based order. It reminds us that the peace, cooperation, shared interest, and goodwill that have been a part of this region are not guaranteed. And when I was commander of Alaska Command, one of our toughest challenges was how to do homeland defense as well as defense support to civil authorities in case of a disaster across the size and scope of Alaska with very limited land infrastructure. The capability, capacity, and limited redundancy of Alaska's road and rail system are vulnerabilities that could be exploited by adversary, or even more probably, Mother Nature. Having extra rail options would be a substantial improvement. As you well know, the size, weight, and numbers of military equipment needed for both training and crisis lends itself to the use of railways rather than air or road. I do believe that the Port McKenzie and the Northern Rail Extension would be a welcome addition for use by our military to be able to transport supplies, equipment, and personnel, much of which, I must add, comes from locations outside of Alaska. It must be transferred accordingly during any sort of large training or any crisis. And why we should make no mistake, Our military forces are ready, willing, and able to overcome any challenge completing these extensions. And also, I would like to add, continuing to pursue the completion of extending rail service from Alaska to the lower 48 will improve responsiveness and Baltic Force forces. And I thank the committee for the focus on this matter and for considering this resolution. General McCabe, I yield back to you, sir.
Thank you, General. Any questions for the General? Proud member of the Big Lake community. Thank you, Cooler. I appreciate it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for your focus on this. I hope everyone has a great day.
Thanks. All right. Next, I think we have in the room for testimony, if invited testimony, we have Mr. Bill O'Leary of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, CEO, and Megan Clemens, Alaska Railroad Corporation Director of External Affairs. And also online, we have Clark Hopp, the Alaska Railroad Chief Operating Officer, and Brian Lindemood, the Alaska Railroad Vice President, VP Chief Engineer. So if you'd like to give us your thoughts on HJR 19, Mr. O'Leary and Ms. Clemens, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, my name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad. And as you stated, Mr. Chairman, we have the full big part of the railroad senior management team either here with us or online, so to be able to answer any questions that may come up. But I'm going to make just a couple of introductory comments, and then Ms. Clemens will talk a little bit about current standing of some of our initiatives on this. But the railroad is fully in support of the rail extensions being discussed here, the Port McKenzie rail extension and the Northern rail extension. We think they fit beautifully within our economic development emphasis or mission that the Alaska Railroad has. And the benefit of the two projects are they are both, reasonably well-developed projects, probably a little further along on the Port Mac extension than Northern Rail. Certainly, we have other extensions we are looking at as we are trying to, work through what kind of, rail extension planning for the state of Alaska would be reasonable or advisable, whether it's the North Slope, whether it's Livengood, whether it's wherever. Out there, we are looking at that. And as we say with some level of regularity, in a state that is bereft of really basic infrastructure in a lot of situations, the concept of increased rail is something that we feel is very important for the state's development. And we need to maintain what we have, but we need to be looking at expansion also at this point. So I'd ask Ms. Clemens to kind of give a bit of an update on where we stand currently, and then I'll come back at the end and maybe make a couple of closing comments if that's acceptable.
Thank you. Ms. Clemens.
Sure. For the record, my name is Megan Clemens. I'm the External Affairs Director for the Alaska Railroad Corporation. At the risk of repeating some of what Mr. O'Leary has just said today, we really embrace this approach to economic development projects. The community involved approach is one that we think works well and is really necessary when we're looking at some of these larger projects. And, to that extent, particularly in relation to the Port McKenzie rail extension and the Northern rail extension, we've been trying to do some pretty aggressive outreach to different stakeholders to see if we can put together kind of a coalition of, moving these projects forward, because we do see a lot of great potential for this new infrastructure to benefit the state of Alaska. So to that extent, we've been having conversations with the congressional delegation, looking to what federal funding opportunities might be available. Reaching out to partners at the state, certainly talking a lot about it at the legislature this year, as well as reaching out to other state agencies like AIDA, to, you know, try to gain a better understanding if there's opportunities that we might not be aware of to be able to pursue with private industry. You know, and again, you know, the outreach to the military, I think traditionally the idea was maybe the Northern Rail extension with Jay Park would be, you know, of interest to the military, but getting a better understanding that Fort McKenzie might have important implications for the military as well. So certainly want to be sure that we have a good understanding of, you know, what that might look like going forward. And, you know, if the rail extension can help, you know, make sure that the military is getting, you know, what they need across the state in an efficient way that supports national security. You know, and, you know, we're headed to D.C. next month for, you know, follow up with the congressional delegation as well as meeting with, you know, some folks at USDOT to get a better understanding of what some of those federal funding opportunities look like. Make sure that we're prepared for timelines and, you know, understand what hurdles we might need to meet in terms of non-federal match requirements, you know, BCA requirements, so that, you know, we can be clear about what hurdles we need to meet to try to get, you know, a package put together, you know, if that's something that we're successful in being able to do with partners. So, you know, that's kind of what we've been working on, we'll continue to work on related to these two projects in particular, as well as, you know, as Mr. O'Leary mentioned, certainly always keeping an eye out for other economic development opportunities where the railroad can play a role. And, you know, we think we also bring some other important benefits to those. So, you know, if we can identify, you know, funding or a business case to support something, I mean, we're happy to lead the grant applications. You know, if the funding is identified to secure debt, you know, I think everyone's aware that we've got some, you know, bonding opportunities that can be useful. So, you know, we think that we've got an important way to contribute there, you know, as those projects might advance in those directions. And we also bring a lot in terms of project management. You know, if you can get the funding put together, if you can get these projects moving forward, we are the local subject matter expert on rail. You know, we're there to support the construction. We've got a proven track record of managing these large projects successfully. So, you know, we think that's an important role that we can provide. And, you know, the last thing to mention is just when we look at economic development and rail extensions, you know, we might be needing outside assistance for some of these larger projects for the initial funding up front, the initial capital expense. But our assumption is that the Alaska Railroad would be taking on the ongoing, you know, maintenance and operations of that rail extension, which is an important benefit to the state as well. So we think we have a lot to contribute. To reiterate, you know, we're very supportive of infrastructure in Alaska generally, rail infrastructure in particular. And, you know, we stand ready to do our part to help advance these projects.
Thank you. Any follow-up, Mr. O'Leary?
I really don't think there's anything else I can say, Mr. Chairman, at this particular point.
Hard act to follow that one. So any questions from the committee? No? Okay. I think I'm going to take a brief at ease and maybe see what we want to do going forward. Back on the record. Representative Vance, can I have a motion?
Chair McCabe, I move HJR 19, Work Order 33-LS1344/B from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, and I will object for brief discussion purposes if there's any discussion. Representative Sumner.
I like it.
Okay, I'll remove my objection. And with no further objections, HDR 19 is moved from the House Transportation Committee. We'll take a brief at ease. HDR 19, did I say 13?
Did I say the motion?
No, you said it right.
Okay.
HDR 19 is moved from the House Transportation Committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee report and get set up for the next bill. On the record, we will now hear an introduction of HB 122 filed by Frank Tomaszewski and his staff, Zach Young. And I might caution committee members, this is Zach's first bill, so be gentle or not.
Thank you very much, Chairman McCabe and the committee. We are very happy and thankful that we can present HB 122, a Railroad Corporation financing bill, today. The purpose of HB 122 is to enable the Alaska Railroad Corporation to secure financing for the critical replacement of its passenger dock and associated terminal facility in Seward. By issuing revenue bonds, the Alaska Railroad Corporation can address the infrastructure needs, enhance transportation services, and contribute to the economic and vitality of the region and really the state. The existing passenger dock and terminal facility play a crucial role in supporting tourism, commerce, and transportation along the scenic Alaska Railroad route. However, due to wear and aging, these facilities require immediate attention. The proposed financing through revenue bonds will allow for timely upgrades, ensuring safe and efficient operations for passengers, freight, and tourism-related activities. The replacement project aims to enhance the overall experience for travelers, promote economic growth, and maintain the railroad status as a vital transportation link within the state. By investing in modern infrastructure, we can continue to connect communities, foster tourism, and support local businesses. HB 122 represents a collaborative effort to address critical infrastructure needs while maintaining fiscal responsibility. We appreciate your support for this legislation, which will benefit Alaskans and visitors alike. Which introduced to you my staff, Zach Young. He is going to quickly go through the sectional analysis, which shouldn't take very long.
Thank you, Representative Tomaszewski. Mr. Young, take it away.
For the record, Zach Young, Tomaszewski's staff. So we'll start here. An act authorizing Alaska's Railroad Corporation to issue revenue bonds to finance the replacement of the Alaska Railroad Corporation's passenger dock and related terminal facility in Seward, Alaska, as well as providing for an effective date. Section 1, beginning line 1, page 1. Line 5, page 1, authorizes the Alaska Railroad Corporation to issue an additional $90 million for not to exceed a total of $150 million in revenue bonds to finance the replacement of the Alaska Railroad's passenger dock and related terminal facility in Seward, Alaska. And Section 2, page 2, line 7, sets an immediate effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Any questions from committee members? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. Through the chair, I have a couple questions. When I first got wind of this or heard about this bill, didn't the railroad, aren't they in partnership with someone on the repairs and rebuilding of these docks, one of the cruise line companies?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Representative Stutes, yes, they are. And actually, behind me, I have the President Bill O'Leary of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, who could probably answer all of those questions. And I think you're going to give a little a presentation here also. So if you probably want to ask that question to President O'Leary.
I would be happy to do so. And if you think it's appropriate, I'd be happy to hold my question until after the presentation. I'll leave it up to the chair.
Yeah, so that's perfect, actually. It's a perfect segue. We do have Mr. O'Leary still here, and also Preston Carnahan, Regional Vice President, Destinations of the Royal Caribbean Group. And online available for questions, Michelle Maddox, Clark Hopp, Brian Lindemood, Kat Sorensen is the first three are with the railroad, and Kat Sorensen is the city manager of the city of Seward. So we have a plethora of folks that we can ask questions of. So, Mr. O'Leary, if you and I guess it's Mr. Carnahan want to approach and put yourselves on the record. And I know you had a presentation sort of discussion in Senate Finance this morning, so you can take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, my name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the President and Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad. And with me today is President Carnahan from Royal Caribbean Group. I'll let him introduce himself as we'll get that portion of the program here. And yes, recognizing also that we have members of the Alaska Railroad senior management team on the line that can hopefully answer any questions that may come up. I'm certainly here to offer support for House Bill 122. The reason we are here is the railroad statutes require, before issuing public debt, so meaning bonds, that it requires legislative approval prior to those bonds being issued. We have a project that we've discussed, I think, a couple times at this particular committee, so try not to bore you with too many of the details you may have already heard, but we have three docks. The Alaska Railroad owns three docks in Seward, Alaska, and the dock in question here, we have our coal dock, which has lay fairly dormant for the last number of years. We also have a freight dock, which is the subject of a different capital project. We're lengthening and widening that to take care of the commercial need. We also have a passenger dock. And this passenger dock was built in 1965 or 1966, but one way or the other, it's old and is nearing the end of its useful life. Matter of fact, to that end, we are, you know, at this point looking to have this dock replaced by the 2026 cruise season, but we are being forced to put a couple of million dollars into it here over this for 2024 and 2025 just to continue to keep it safe and functional for industry use over the next few years. So this dock is in dire need of replacement. And we've, if you'll recall, back in 2022, we actually came to the legislature asking for a bond authorization for $60 million at that particular point. And I liken the situation to we were trying to move something relatively quickly, given the condition of the dock at that point. And I think we were, again, building the plane while trying to fly it or flying the plane while trying to build it, depending on how you like to look at that. But we were not ready fully for we didn't have the scope nailed down with our partners. And we also had not accounted for, I think, the level of construction inflation that has been experienced over the past few years. So it took a strategic pause at that point. And took the time to really try to lock it down as to what the scope of the dock should be, get the actual financing and funding plan in place. And now we're here with you to present that to you, really, and to kind of talk about what the project is at this point. So this is more of a. This slide discusses a little bit, just kind of a high-level timeline of what we're talking about here. We are looking to have the dock replaced with a $137 million project that would be secured by a long-term berthing agreement between the Alaska Railroad Corporation and the Royal Caribbean Group, which would provide then the dock or a new dock. New terminal facilities for effectively 50-year life. And this dock is important, certainly important to the community of Seward. It's certainly important to the Alaska Railroad, but it really does actually have statewide importance for the entire visitor industry, and especially for the South Central and interior visitor industry, as it's one of the key points of entry into South Central and then up into the interior here. So again, $137 million project. There will be railroad equity cash involved, and that cash is coming from what we were calling a fee that was put on starting in 2022. So it's cash collections that have occurred so far, and also cash collections that will occur through 2025, a fee placed on the users of the dock, the cruise lines, and those monies will total approximately $30 million of railroad and some additional small injection of railroad cash not related to that. It will go in to the funding package here. The remainder would be then debt, this tax-exempt debt that is the subject of what we're talking about here today. And I would really sort of close with a couple things. The key word on this is really alignment. We're coming to you today with the railroad aligned with the developer and with our anchor tenant, largest customer, for this project. And I think that's something that is, obviously very important to us. This, by statute, this debt that we would be issuing is not a liability of the state. It is a, by statute, can't be state debt. It is a debt of the Alaska Railroad only, and no state monies, state revenues, can be used to pay this debt. It would be, these are revenue bonds, contemplated as revenue bonds, coming from the revenues from the dock received. It's a big deal for us, a big deal for the state. Look forward to answering any questions about this, and if I haven't stolen all the good talking points, I'd ask Mr. Carnahan if to add anything, please. We also have some pictures up here, of the existing dock right now, and then a rendering of the new dock and new terminal facility.
Thanks. So, Mr. Carnahan, anything to add? You can put yourself on the record. And
Yeah, thank you, Mr. O'Leary. For the record, Preston Carnahan, Royal Caribbean Group, Regional Vice President for Commercial and Infrastructure. Chairman McCabe, Royal Caribbean Group has been calling Seward for the past 20 years with three of our brands. We're excited to be here today, and so thank you for this opportunity to be here and support the project and support House Bill 122. I have the privilege of representing a number of developments throughout the region down to Mexico and the West Coast, and I will tell you that this is of prime importance to us, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to be here, was to show our support. The dock clearly needs to be replaced. We've gone through a number of iterations over time. The railroad has, Royal Caribbean's been part of a couple of those, and I would say that we found the right solution, and that's one of the reasons why we're willing to put in a three-decade commitment to back this up with revenue. So not only the commitment during the time period from 2022 up until the project is completed in 26, which is a significant, you could say, prepayment on capital through our passengers, but also, again, for the next decades to come. Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess at this point we'll see if there's any questions from the committee for Mr. O'Leary or Mr. Carnahan or Representative Tomaszewski. Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. So this deal was brokered between, as you said, the City of Seward, I presume, was involved, Royal Caribbean. How about any of the cargo workers that might be down there that might be utilizing this dock, or will this dock not be utilized for cargo? Will it have the capacity to have cargo loaded and unloaded? And then I guess along that line, were any other cruise companies involved in this? Did you consult any of the other cruise companies that might be coming into Seward that might be utilizing this dock as well, and would it the capacity accommodate them?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes. So certainly we are, the proposal at this point is to build a floating dock, which is different than the fixed dock that was that is currently in place, that is in the state of disrepair at this point. We've had discussions recently with some of the individuals that work on the docks, about some of their concerns about what, you know, how can this dock be used for perhaps things other than cruise line activity out there. And certainly it is, you know, first of all, just big picture here, of course, we do have our freight dock, which is the, you know, really the designed for heavy freight. And then again, we have a project in place to extend and, you know, widen that dock to, again, better suit actually the commercial activity that is, the growing activity that is in Seward. It was, I think, a very good discussion with the Longshoremen's Union about what we were planning at this particular point with the developer. And, you know, just an understanding that this dock, while it will not be able to handle the heavy freight that that our freight dock will do, it will be able to handle lighter to medium freight. At that point, or at this point, I will have exhausted my level of knowledge about this, but we have our chief engineer on the line that could certainly talk about that at greater length. I will say that, you know, this, and I will actually ask Mr. Carnahan to respond about the other cruise lines, but, you know, the railroad is adamant that the design of this dock is something that can be used by all cruise lines out there. We have a number of other cruise lines that currently call on Seward, and even though at this point they are not, you know, we're not signing them up for a 30-year berthing agreement at this point, you know, the intent and the goal is that they will be able to continue to use this dock, and this dock will be there for new entrants, for existing customers, and, you know, we want to be able to grow the activity of this dock.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
I probably wasn't very clear, and it was kind of surprising because I know that this design here with a floating dock is something entirely different than we were presented the first time, and it was kind of a surprise. So maybe I should have asked, were any other cruise lines or were the any of the longshoremen or whoever loads or unloads cargo vessels, were they consulted before any of these plans were drawn up, or is this strictly something that the railroad and Royal Caribbean decided would best fit their needs?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes. So really the structure of this deal is, and I will try to answer your question here, but the structure of this deal is there's a developer, there's the anchor tenant, and then there's the owner of this, and the owner being the Alaska Railroad. And, excuse me, we are actually looking at this as a real estate type of transaction where the customer and the developer have been working together to develop the scope of what will work for the customer and, you know, knowing, and Mr. Carnahan can talk about this, knowing what is out there in the market at this point for other types of ships, other cruise lines out there. So those, and then, you know, the developer will then complete the construction of this dock and terminal facility and then just sell the assets to the Alaska Railroad at this point. So, you know, to the best of my knowledge, the discussions have been, you know, more suited or have been more focused on the customer that is signing up for the long-term use agreement. But again, I would ask Mr. Carnahan to respond to that also.
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
So I'm hearing that the city of Seward wasn't involved in this either. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, I believe we have been in contact with the city of Seward about what we are doing. Now, whether or not we shared, what level of detail we shared with the city of Seward, I can't respond to this at the moment. But I do believe we have the city manager of Seward is online and could probably speak to that.
I would appreciate that. And then I have one more follow-up.
But sure. Ms. Sorensen, can you hear me?
Through the chair, yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, if you'd place yourself on record, I know you had a little paragraph to read, and then maybe Representative Stutes had a question about whether how involved the City of Seward was in the development, design and development of this dock.
For the record, Kat Sorensen, City Manager of the City of Seward. In response to Representative Stutes' question, the City of Seward has been talking with the Alaska Railroad about this project for several years and excited about the project. We had a presentation on these designs to our City Council last month in January, so we were able to see and talk about that. I will also add that we were in a transitionary period over the course of about the past year as our previous administration stepped aside and then acting filled the city manager role and I took over this position. So while the plans when presented in January were new to me, it was all part of a long ongoing conversation through a cross of different administrations. So we were involved and then we were able to have a nice presentation from the railroad at a council meeting last month.
Thank you for that. And then,
yeah, of course.
Mr. Chair, if I could just have a follow-up.
Of course.
Please.
Representative Stutes.
So according to you, you said that, of course, you know that Seward is a key point of entry. And then you mentioned the cargo dock that you're going to be rebuilding. Are you doing this simultaneously, or what is the time frame that you're looking at in so far as the cargo dock? My concern is if something, we have some kind of disaster, God forbid, Seward is going to be the next place as an ice-free port that anybody's going to go. And it would be a tragedy not to be able to have the cargo ships be able to land there. And so I would be curious to know what your time frame is on the cargo docks.
Through the chair, Representative Stutes. So the cargo dock has been somewhat delayed, and part of that was going through just difficulties with getting the grants in place, difficulties getting the getting through some of the environmental permitting and the like. But and it is going to be challenging, I think, to manage the two dock projects at the same time. It is something that's going to involve significant coordination between the developer for the passenger dock and the railroad's contractor for the freight dock. For actual specifics, I'd probably ask Brian Lindemood, our chief engineer, to be able to give a bit of an update on that, if that's acceptable.
Certainly.
Sure. Mr. Lindemood, if you're online, did you hear the question? And if you did, please place your name on the record and perhaps answer Representative Stutes' question.
I did hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you.
All right. Through the chair. Thank you very much. My name is Brian Lindemood, Vice President, Chief Engineer of the Alaska Railroad. Through the chair, Representative Stutes. You bring to light, yes, one of the complications of projects, and all projects has complications, is schedule. And we are keenly aware that at any given time, we need at least one place for a ship to berth down there. We are already having discussions with the developer team about making sure that that will, in fact, happen and be able to not only maintain traffic in and through Seward during the construction of both of these projects, but to make sure that those projects are fully coordinated with one another so that, the left hand's talking to the right hand.
Thank you. I'll just put it out that it alarms me greatly to hear that there might not be the ability to accommodate a large cargo ship there, but yet our priority is a cruise ship. The big thing in this state seems to be is food security, and I'm just going to put it out there. It alarms me, and I think that there needs to be some kind of accommodation for Alaskans to know that there is the ability, if something happens, to get a large cargo ship in there that can be offloaded somewhat easily, and it doesn't appear as the new design of the dock would allow that to transpire.
Mr. O'Leary.
Through the chair, Representative Stutes. No, the this dock, while possibly, you know, in a pinch could be used for one of the steamships that currently serve Anchorage, that would be, you know, the ideal on that would be to be over at the freight dock that we are looking at. And we have had varying levels of discussions with steamship operators about contingency plans in Seward should there be an issue at the Port of Alaska there. I mean, it may not be the most efficient way of unloading it, but it is something that that certainly could be done on the freight dock.
Thank you. I just hope that there is something in place before you start tearing everything apart. Thank you.
Thank Anybody you, else?
Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. I have a couple of questions. So I'm wondering about the dock itself and if there is a way possibly to make the ramp that sort of moves with the tide, wider to accommodate bigger forklifts and bigger loads. I get that it's a floating dock and you can't put a whole bunch of weight on it, but in a pinch, as Representative Stute says, if there was a way to use a bigger forklift, whether it be one of those that picks a Connex up and drives it up the ramp or something like that, I'm sure it would be tidal dependent because you don't want to have to try to drive a forklift up a slippery ramp at low tide. But I don't know if that's a possibility. I think you told me it was Turnagain Marine that was that you were working with for that.
Chair McCabe. Yes, so Turnagain Marine is the constructor right now, and you know, certainly is one of the outgrowths of a discussion we've had recently, you know, looking at are there different things that could be done to, you know, perhaps increase, realizing that this the focus of this is not for it to be a freight dock, but certainly that it could be used or have greater utility in the off-season. That. So that's something that's... you know, discussions like that are underway. It was a positive discussion from my perspective with the longshoremen about that, trading of information, the back and forth about what some of their thoughts and needs and desires might be. And I think that back to the developer and the constructor on this as to what could be accomplished within the, you know, relative realm of the, of this scope. But again, Brian Lindemood could give you something a little more detailed than that, if that's...
Thanks, and maybe, Mr. Lindemood, what I'm also interested in, Representative Stutes asked about a timeline, so I'm interested, I think what you're saying is we're going to finish the passenger dock first before we tear into the cargo dock so that we at least have one dock in the off-season, even if it is only to bring in light to medium freight. So maybe you could give us an idea of the timeline for that, Mr. Lindemood.
Representative McCabe. From a timeline standpoint, I'm going to start with the passenger dock. That schedule's a little bit more settled right now. The intent is that actually the sewer company, who is the developer, actually start doing the prep work and some of the uplands work and so forth this fall, continue through the winter. And then at the end of the 2025 cruise season, the dock proper would come down and would be opened back up again in time for the 2026 cruise season. Running parallel with that at this juncture is the freight dock project. And the freight dock project, to be clear, is an extension project. It's not a demolish and start over. So the existing berth at the freight dock is not going to go away. It's simply going to be long-term expanded. And that project right now, we are in the environmental process. We're having some difficulties with NIMS and some perceived potentially endangered species. And that's holding that project up a little bit. At this juncture, we plan to be through that environmental process by the end of the year. and rolling into getting that ready for construction about the same time. But that schedule is a little bit fungible, recognizing that the passenger dock has much more hard points, if you will, as far as where we have to meet schedule-wise, and we will work the freight dock around whatever we have to do to make that happen.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And so a couple more questions. One on the dock itself and sort of the mechanics. Are they building the dock somewhere else and then towing it into Seward? Because that appears to be not much of a plan, considering that 4 or 5 days ago, one of them broke up on the way into Skagway. So I'm curious how that's going to work.
Yeah, Chairman McCabe. So a little bit about the construction of this dock. It will be built in two sections, and that will be done in Washington State, which is really the closest center of excellence for that type of work. And as far as the construction of this facility, this is significantly more robust than any other floating dock in the state of Alaska. It's uniquely an Alaska solution to deal with the large tides, the head of the bay. It has a large, about a 20-foot ballast on it to make sure that it stays weighed down. And it's fundamentally a different dock than what happened in another port as it was being towed up. That is a passenger pontoon that's made to stay on top of the water. And it's a different design and construction from what is being proposed in Seward.
Thank you. And one final follow-up, and I don't know who this is for, but today there was a news release that the city of Haines or the borough and Turnagain Marine have now the feds are not going to pay for a $10 million hit. And I'm hopeful that that's not going to – I guess I want to know that the construction engineers or the construction company that you selected is robust enough to take a $10 million hit from the feds and be okay with it.
Yeah. Chairman McCabe, so I can't speak on behalf of Turnagain. What I can say is that they have, in the past 5 years approximately, successfully completed all of the new floating cruise ship docks. And we as Royal Caribbean Group, along with the railroad who had, you know, put out some proposals, we'd been coming here for decades and saw the need with the state of disrepair of this dock. And we've been the ones working with Turnagain for this solution to bring that forward. We're confident that they're able to complete this for what is being proposed. And I can't speak on behalf of the Haines LUTAC dock for them, but I would say based on their portfolio of work that they're a very robust company that has the capability to complete this.
Okay. Thanks. Sort of different from the electrical questions you got this morning, right? So anybody else have any questions? Representative McKay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank Mr. O'Leary for being here today and Mr. Carnahan. Your company's commitment to Alaska is appreciated. And I just wanted to add to your list of things that might be showing up. 800 miles of 42-inch pipe, 1 inch thick for a gas pipeline. You never know. So I'd like you to be able to handle that if you wouldn't mind. Thank you very much.
So, Representative Stutz.
Thank you. I just have a quick question. Will this new dock be able to accommodate the Alaska Marine Highway System?
Through the chair, Representative Stutz, the plan, should the Alaska Marine Highway System be looking to make a return to Seward, would be at the freight dock at this point, as opposed to the cruise passenger dock.
Follow up. So with the improvements in the freight dock, you'll be working with DOT in order to make sure that that would be facilitated?
Through the chair, Representative Stutz, if we have not already had contact with DOT, we certainly will.
Perfect. Thank you.
Representative Vance.
Thank you, through the chair, and this question is for Mr. Carnahan. I had asked this question of Mr. O'Leary previously, but I think you're the more appropriate person to ask this question. And it's after I saw the conceptual of this project. And my comment was that it looks a little too efficient. And what I'm wanting to know is what your company's objective is in giving passengers time in our communities like Seward and on the Central Peninsula so that they are getting to know our communities, but also investing part of those dollars into our economy. By the look of the reason I asked that is by the look of this, they go from the cruise ship directly to the train or the bus, it looks like within minutes, and then straight up to, say, Denali. And that keeps the dollars very, very, very focused. And while I know that may be your company's objective, but in order for us as representatives of Alaska to be able to approve of this, we need to be looking out for our communities and share the wealth. So what can you tell me that you've done to build relationships specifically with City of Seward, the Chamber of Commerce's, and the different communities that your passengers will be interfacing with in Alaska so that there can be that relationship building so that they will return, but also making sure that we're seeing those dollars impacting our small businesses in our communities.
Thank you, through the chair, Vice Chair Vance. So first on the dock construction question, which is that for us, when we looked at really what's going away and providing a solution, this is a very capable solution to handle the ship itself. And when I say the ship, I have the privilege of representing a company that has the largest ships in Alaska, which in this case will double the number of guests per ship that call into Seward from today. So today we have, you could say, a 2,000 passenger ship, and the ship that this will be built for will double that number of people. So while I would expect guests traveling north on the rail belt to continue, as a percentage of the guests on board, we now have double that amount to have other experiences. So we're, as a company, I like to describe as we're locally focused with strategic entrepreneurial partners. So we don't have a large network of wholly owned assets throughout the state. We rely on Alaskans and Alaskan businesses to create those partnerships with. And so that's really where our focus has been. I think as we look, there's a very well built out system throughout South Central up to Denali. I think the Kenai Peninsula down to Homer and different areas have a tremendous amount of potential for where the guests will be going in the future. And that's really the focus of our pre and post product development. I would say that at the same time, you know, Seward has also shared openly that, you know, they're a couple hundred hotel beds short of where they think they need to be for today's demand. And so we're also sensitive to the impact that we can have by bringing a larger ship to a community like Seward. And so we believe that by the time this dock would be finished for the 2026 season, we'll have worked through a lot of those issues with the city, with the community, and with some local solutions. As far as our memberships, Royal Caribbean Group is a member of all the visitors bureaus and the chambers of commerce that our ships call, including Seward. We have our head of government relations here, Wendy Linskoog, who's a member of the board of the Sea Life Center. Over the past years, Royal Caribbean has sponsored a program there to allow remote learning for children at the Sea Life Center. So those types of sponsorships and opportunities are very important to us, and we want to continue those closely with the community.
All right. Thank you.
So thanks, Mr. Carnahan. I'm think I'm hearing you say that you're not going to unleash all 4,000 passengers on Seward, and you're not going to put all 4,000 of them on the railroad headed north right away either. So the schedules is probably too deep for this meeting, but I would imagine there's a remain overnight in Seward and another rail the next day and that sort of thing. So I'm a little familiar, I think, with how the cruise ship and the railroad kind of do things. So I think that might answer your question. I can't imagine 2,000-4,000 person ships being unleashed in Seward. That would like double the population. Representative Stutz.
Thank you. Through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a good question. This dock looks slightly narrow. Will you be able to have two ships in at one time and facilitate all the people?
Through the chair, Representative Stutz. So this is a double-sided berth, and it can accommodate two of the large 4,000 passenger ships. With that said, there's not an intention, a plan, or a commercial demand right now that we see throughout the industry that there would be a time when there would be two 4,000 passenger ships. What we see today and is more likely to continue will be a ship like this and your smaller luxury lines that are able to be handled quite well, and they will be with this dock.
Thank you.
So
thank
like you, a big one like this and a Seabourn smaller, you know, 200-400 passenger.
Through the chair, I would say what calls today, Silver Sea, Viking, you know, up to your 1,000 passenger expedition ships.
Okay, thanks. And that's not a Panamax cruiser, is it?
Through the chair, that's a post-Panamax ship, and it doesn't go through the canal, nor can it.
Okay, cool. Any other questions? Representative Vance.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Carnahan, in thinking about the impacts of these larger ships here in Juneau, have you had a conversation with the community about their solid waste capacity for these larger ships and being able to build that out and deal with the waste that may be coming to their community?
Through the chair, Vice Chair Vance. So Royal Caribbean Group, along with other industry members, have signed on to an MOU where we discharge no waste into the community from our ships. And so we're working with, I would say in this case, different members of the elected officials and city officials to minimize the waste that we provide in all the communities. But currently today, we've agreed not to offload any waste into Juneau or any other Southeast community.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Okay, thanks. I appreciate you taking the time and answering the hard questions. In the House, we talk about garbage. In the Senate, they talk about electrical. So, with that, I'm going to set this bill aside. I'm going to set an amendment deadline for Friday, March 4th at 4 p.m. And unless there's any other comments from the committee or questions, that concludes our business today. Our next meeting will be this coming Thursday, February 29th, 2024, from where we'll hear from the DOT on the progress on the STIP. And also Saturday's meeting is canceled. I'm sure that will break everybody's heart. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect that the time is 2:48 p.m.